Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We too fled Earth and came here to build something better.
There is a tension in your mind when you speak of coming here that I associate with deception or omission. If I'm in error, I apologize.
If you are so curious, why not simply take the information you require from my mind?
The difference between that which is taken and that which is freely given is significant, is it not?
You're a puzzle. You possess great power, but refuse to use it to secure the safety of your people. As a leader, how is this not your greatest priority?
I speak for the Pandem, but every voice is valuable. Our priority is consensus. We have chosen this path for the good of all.
I'm ready. You ready? Yes. I'm ready. Are you ready? Okay, yes, you know, we've already confirmed that we're ready. I pushed the clock.
Well, you know, that button should have like a boopy noise. It should go like, or you should make a noise. You should go boopity boop when you press it or something.
Should the sound be something kind of like... I'm sorry. That was not intentional.
What the fuck, man?
I apologize. I pushed the wrong button. I meant to push...
For Christmas, you get hearing loss.
What was I going to... Oh. Oh. Jeez. It's still very loud. Am I pushing the right button? I don't know. Is this one?
Wait, maybe it should be this.
I'm sorry. We'll get to the podcast title in a second. I got some of these soundboards to identify with the youth. To get some of that youth market, I think we need to target some of the young people. They got sounds like they like this sound. You know what that sound is? Discord, bone crack.
What about
fart?
What about this one? That one. Jesus, man.
I don't know. They're all about these overdriven sounds. These youths today. These blown out sounds.
Oh, you are meant to eat around the bones.
Yes. By the way, I think the a key topic of conversation tonight will be related to the violence ASMR and the various bone ASMRs and things going on. But first, we should first state that this is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Be not afraid.
We come in peace.
Well selected.
Yes, yeah, compiled.
Well selected. So, yeah, this is the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and we welcome you.
We welcome you.
To the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Two of us welcome you.
Welcome. Two. Only two tonight.
Only two tonight, yeah. Mm. Jesse couldn't make it.
He is visiting peaceful lands in his mind.
certainly we hope so. Jesse's a little under the weather tonight, so
not over the weather. He's not at the level of the weather.
No, he's not at his limit.
I want you to call me out tonight for excessive usages of the word like, because I'm really falling back on that too much
as a verbal crutch.
Yeah, and it's getting to be too much. My last week's explanation of kanji keyboards, I was throwing a lot of likes,
a lot
in
of
there,
likes,
and I'm trying to
like this, little like that,
because I remember I was listening to somebody give a presentation, work or something, and they kept doing the like that. So every
yeah.
So they'd be talking, and when you click on the this, and then you go to
yeah,
to go there, and then it will open up and it was always like I couldn't concentrate on anything else but that, and gosh bless him, like I know what that's like. I just said it, but that it, I felt it was
no,
okay.
No, in that usage, it made sense. You said you know what that
I,
was like.
I'm not criticizing this person because I'm guilty of the same crime.
Well, everyone has verbal crutches.
But that doesn't mean we should accept them.
Verbal crutches, as they were said and stated in Voim voice. Voim voice. Yeah. I got a verbal crutch. I need a crutch for all the voims coming out of my face and eyeballs.
I think the best thing you can
all
do...
All my face and eyeball voims coming out of my face and my eyeballs.
I continue to vote against this worms coming out of the face component.
But it's topical given our show that we're doing, you know?
Oh, yes, because the con podcast.
The earworms, and I'm not talking about a good song. I'm talking about a literal earworm.
And we haven't
It
really...
goes into your ear and comes out your face. On the floor.
I don't think it comes out the face. I think it just stays in there and maybe comes back out the ear.
Nah, says you.
All right. Well, says the visual canon, the on-screen canon as far as...
What?
We'll find out more, presumably, in a bit.
What?
Yeah.
Whenever I play what, you're always like, what?
It is my favorite sound effect.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
I'm so glad.
I'm charmed.
I'm so
charmed.
Glad we stumbled across
I'm
that.
I'm charmed when you do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm charmed by just about anything that Charles Tripp Tucker III says.
Yes.
Not everything.
I find it intriguing.
Yeah. All right. You've gotten me totally thrown off here. So what are we doing? This is the It's Got Star
Trek
podcast.
It's useless.
Yeah. That's episode 319 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Mm-hmm. We've already welcomed the people. We've explained that Jesse isn't here tonight. Mm-hmm. We haven't yet...
I believe so.
We haven't yet explained that we will be discussing the episode that is called...
Wow.
The Good of All.
It is a necessary first step.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Okay, yes. That took me longer than it ought to have. I had to...
Episode 6, The Good of All.
I had to actually look at my notes for that.
Good of all. Good of all.
All right. So we'll be getting to that discussion momentarily. But first, I wanted to note we'll have a very brief second break fun 'em up, AI related.
Oh, my.
But maybe not what you think. And then, ooh. Dan, I got to check with you. Do we have any lists? Do we have any duty or new duties? Do we have any of your other regular features that you like to toss out now and then?
Well, there are no duties in this episode. So, but there were some goofy lines.
All right. A list of goofy lines.
Five list of goofy lines.
Okay.
And, of course, the parts that usually ends up being around 13.
Do you think that's how they've been structuring these in sort of 13 scenes or scenelets?
I don't know if they've been doing that on purpose, but it is interesting how when I've been drawing sounds, I always get around the same amount
drawing
of
sounds.
Drawing.
Like you would draw a liquid from a flask.
You think me barbaric.
Because when you say drawing sounds, it's the metaphors are confusing because you tend to associate drawing with pictures and sounds with not pictures.
Whenever I am pulling sounds, when I am capturing sounds from the episode, it just so happens that I have been around within 10 in the past few episodes. I've been around, I think for pretty much all of them, I've been within 10 sounds variants of each one. And which I find interesting.
You mean total sound clips?
Yeah, for each episode. Okay. I'm about like within a range of 10 for total per each episode. Meaning in each episode, I don't vary by more than 10, it seems. Which is, and you were asking, did they do 13 scenes on purpose? To which I say, I don't know. It just turned out that way. But it would follow that they wouldn't necessarily have to try to do 13 because I'm not trying to do a certain amount of sounds. I only grab as many sounds as... Every time I hear a sound I think is good, I grab it. And it just so happens, it always comes out to like to about the same amount of sounds, which is interesting, I find, because I don't know if there's some kind of secret math behind that as to how story beats work or interesting words work. But you would think that one week I'd get a very small amount, and the next week I might get a bunch. But no, they're always around the same, and
You're speaking specifically of the Con podcast, because when we just cover regular Star Trek shows, I think you've commented on how some weeks you're like, there's a whole heck of a lot of sounds this week.
Yeah, and I attribute that to different shows, maybe because one, we might do Voyager one week and TNG the other, but also because some episodes are more visual heavy, some episodes are more sound heavy, and this is all
Lower Decks, I think, always had a lot of sound clips because it crammed a lot, even though it was shorter episodes.
Lower Decks, I would, even though the episode is half as long, I would not get that many fewer sounds than a full hour episode, sometimes just about the same, you know, because it gets a little bit like intense to try to get all the sounds in Lower Decks. I'm pausing it all the time.
I know it's a purely subjective thing in the end. You're using some algorithm in your head to select which sounds you think.
Why bother?
Would provide entertainment or be useful or in some other ways please you, entertain you.
If that is your wish.
But yeah, I'm thinking of, like, you know, the coastline problem, like the measuring the coastline, right? Where,
oh, because it's infinite, because it's a fractal or something.
Well, yeah, the more the higher resolution, yeah, you're right. I could imagine there's a variation on that, on selecting clips from a show, where you could ostensibly select more clips than the entire audio length of the show, because you could pick different contexts and different overlaps and things like that.
Here's an example.
Okay.
You do bleed.
And then here's another example.
You do bleed. Do you also die?
That is... Nice.
Sorry, I'm just, you know.
No, that was appropriate.
I mean, I'm not as good as you, but I'm just trying to...
That was good. That caught me off guard. But both those were two different You Do Bleed clips. Hence what you were just saying. Sometimes one clip yields...
You do bleed.
You do bleed.
You do bleed.
You do bleed.
Yeah.
But it was. That's not unusual for me to take one sound and have different versions of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for this one...
You do bleed. Do you also die?
Like, what is going on there? Here, listen. Like, what is that squeak noise at the beginning? Is this a death fart?
It's either, well, it could be a death fart. It could be three things, I guess. It could be a death fart. It could be some sort of, like, maybe their
death fart.
The strange texture of their skin or something results in, like, when he's, like, breaking necks or tearing them open, there's some... Yeah. But
so
to me it sounds like somebody singing a song almost, like, oh yeah.
It does.
I know it's not that, but it's a little distracting.
That one's disturbing, because you can hear that he's trying to breathe while being choked.
Can you play it again?
Listen to the very beginning.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that sound in there.
You set me up, man. You sold me out.
I did.
You sold me out.
And not for the first time. Probably not for the last.
Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, she was upset. Yeah. And also making very good points. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that in the discussion.
I wanted to mention... Oh, wait. I've just interrupted you.
No. All we did was... we're talking about... You got some lists and stuff like that.
I was thinking... Marla MacGyver's... I kept thinking... I was thinking to myself... I wasn't like doing anything.
Okay.
I was thinking to myself...
Oh, okay. I was wondering why you kept resetting yourself.
Yeah. I was thinking to myself, is this familiar? I don't know. And it turns out she is. Marla MacGyver's is played by Ren Schmidt, who is also in a show that I really enjoy watching called For All Mankind on Apple TV.
Oh, and that is a television program I have not yet watched.
Yeah. And
even though it should be right up my alley.
It's a great show.
In terms of the subject matter.
I think it's a fantastic show.
And the producers behind it.
Yeah, she plays Margot...
MacGyver's?
MacGyver's. No, Margot Madison is her name.
All right. Marla MacGyver's, Margot Madison.
So, and Ivan is played by a guy named Maury Sterling.
Okay.
Not by a Russian guy, apparently.
Do we know Maury Sterling?
Actually, I don't know if he's... Actually, I can't say that he's not Russian. He does not have a Russian-sounding last name.
My name is Maury Sterling.
Wait. Here's...
Hello. Hello. I'm Maury Sterling. Wait. I am...
now you just sound like
Live
Borat.
On Corner. I live over there.
Right. So I like this line.
Why transport tons of metal into an enclosed space? Space, 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 space.
I like that one.
Okay. Well, let's get started then. Let's get started talking about
it. It's nice.
Oh, you had the...
My wife. My wife.
The...
Wawawoo is very nice.
Things are coming to a head here a little bit with Tuvok and Sulu and Dr. Lear, right? So that's how things start out, where Sulu is telling Tuvok pretty aggressively, he's like, I want you to spy on Dr. Lear and see what her deal is.
Yeah, Sulu's being pretty aggressive here.
Yeah, on the other hand, they are... they are laying things out so that none of these people are being totally unreasonable, right? Like, Sulu mm-hmm. is not stopping her from doing stuff. He's not doing, he could just be like, we're done.
But he's suspicious.
But he's giving her a hard time. He's wary. He's being very black and white when it comes to Khan, right? Mm-hmm. And I do agree with Dr. Lear about that, because when Dr. Lear finds out that Tuvok and confronts Tuvok about spying on her, they talk about this. But this beginning bit where first of all, Sulu's all listening, he's like, Beethoven's Fur Elise.
Yeah.
So like, this time they told us the music, at least. I mean, yeah, it was obvious.
But I mean, at this point, like, who does that? Who sits and plays Fur Elise and listens to it? That's kind of like sitting around listening to Sweet Caroline, da da da. It's been played so many times that nobody needs to really listen to it anymore. And forgive me if you love the song; they're great songs, the Sweet Caroline and Fur Elise. But it just seems like you only listen to them for very specific scenarios, like, for example, Sweet Caroline in a bar when everyone goes da da da,
or a montage about a bar,
or something. But but Fur Elise, I mean, come on, man, like. Like, normally I don't criticize the choice of music like this, but it's just, it's, the song is so played out. Man.
Should have had
the piece is so played out.
Picked a more esoteric piece of
classical
music.
I just don't know who sits around and listens to that song for enjoyment, like, because they need to relax. But you know what? I'm being really judgmental right now, so I should maybe check myself.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Cycles are strange. Who knows? Maybe Fur Elise got aggravated people, so they didn't play it for a long time, so by...
Yeah, maybe.
The time Sulu was captain of the old Excelsior, it's back in style.
That's a good point. And they did the clever thing where he listens to the piece, but then they used it as the background when he wasn't in the scene. It went from in scene to background.
From diegetic to non-diegetic sound.
Yeah, Mr. Wordman.
Mr. Wordman!
Mr. Wordman!
That's my new character. Hello, everybody, I'm Mr. Wordman!
I'm Mr. Wordman!
How are you all doing?
And Sulu had to give Tuvok some shit.
You feel. That's unusual.
Humans just can't resist that whenever Vulcan makes that that verbal mistake of using a word feel. There's like, oh, you feel, huh? You feel? I thought Vulcans couldn't feel. You feel? Weird. I thought you were logical. How does feeling jibe with being logical, Tuvok? And he's like, okay.
I think that is maybe a
poor choice of words.
It's a cultural tool that is designed to... Let me rephrase
it. Tuvok should say, I feel you should shut the fuck up, he should say.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. I honestly think that the humans chiding Vulcans for making those types of slip-ups, or not even a slip-up,
is
just
it
like
a chide?
You said.
Would you consider that a chide?
Yeah, a playful chide, perhaps, but I think it's a form of cultural payback for all those years that the Vulcans held us back from Warp 5.
Yeah, from Warp 5, that's a good point.
You know?
Interesting.
I
wholeheartedly agree.
They just stood
by and they kept saying, like, you know what? You're not ready. You delay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then Archer got mad.
Yeah.
And they're all getting back for all the shit they gave to Archer.
Captain Archer, who became the first president of the Federation, put it in the Federation charter that you can always chide Vulcans. You can catch them on little linguistic nonsense.
And what is
semantics that aren't even particularly strong semantics.
And what's the deal? Kirk accidentally killed Porthos or something?
I don't know.
That was in the alternate universe.
Maybe.
That was in the Star Trek.
Beamed them into space or something?
That was in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, wasn't it?
Was it in which one of them? Was it in the original one, or was it in Star Trek Beyond?
I don't remember which one. It was either the first or second. I feel like it was the first one.
All right. I don't know.
It's something I didn't think they needed to put in there.
No, I agree. You don't need to be like killing Porthos.
Yeah, Porthos.
He's a dog. He's going to just die on his own.
Ha ha, the dog died. Ha ha, so funny.
Yeah.
God.
It is weird.
People need to not kill the dogs in the movies.
I mean,
stop doing that shit.
They usually don't. Although they killed that alien dog in that TOS episode in the, you know, what was that? The Enemy Within with the transporter clone stuff. Didn't they kill the dog when they tried to fix it?
When they tried to fix the dog?
Well, I mean, I guess technically it wasn't a dog. It was an alien dog because it put like little horns on it. Died.
Oh, right. The porn dog.
Dan's a horn dog.
Yeah.
Tuvok.
But I am uncertain as to why.
Tuvok seems very impressed by Dr. Lear.
Yes, he is. He is. He's into what she's, he's picking up what she's putting down.
Well, at least he's more on along her side. I think he agrees with me. I suppose we're meant to take this as the audience, as the perspective of the producers, that Sulu's is being a little bit black and white. I think at the same time, though, it is fair to say that Dr. Lear maybe is doing that kind of, they've framed her here as an academic, and I think it works, but I think, a more common example might be a journalist who's like wants to get the juicy story. So it benefits them to believe in whatever is going to like get the most attention. And right now, like Captain Kirk, like the beloved, heroic, recently deceased Captain Kirk, recently in the news because he just fucking died saving the Enterprise B. And if she can find something salacious about him, then that would be interesting. That would get attention. Now, I'm not saying that that's overtly what she's looking for, because some of that is also just Sulu kind of assuming that and stating that. So I don't want to like state that we know exactly what Dr. Lear's full motivations are, but they do seem to lean a little bit on that. Like I just want to aggressively find something cool.
Well, it's kind of hard to pin down her motivations because there's that. But then she talks about how there's a part of her that seems to admire Khan, right? That she's talking about. But
saying it's just like Marla MacGyver's.
But we also find out in this episode that she got all this data from Delmonda.
Yes.
So you would think that she would be on Delmonda's side, right? Because like Delmonda probably was like, we don't know what
Ivan was trying to commit Delmonda side. I know it's not a good one, but
are you kidding me with this?
I felt since Jesse's not here, I couldn't let it go.
I'm waiting for Patrick to put his two cents in. There we go. Thank you. Right. Now who's got the potty mouth problem? No, but presumably, we don't know what how it ended up with Delmonda and Kirk, but it seemed to end
which was a good cliffhanger, by the way.
Yeah, it was. But it seems to, it would seem to indicate that Delmonda wanted to tell the story. It seems like he probably ended on bad terms with Khan, maybe, but maybe not. We don't know.
Yeah.
But if he ended on bad terms with Kirk or with Khan, then why is she on the one hand admiring Khan, but also like on the side of Delmonda, trying to tell Delmonda's story at the same time? Like, whose side is she on?
Well,
anyway,
I guess we don't have enough information. We don't have enough information. What we know is that she got these tapes that she's listening to.
These data tapes
from Delmonda. So
Sega tapes.
We don't. She apparently she doesn't know this story, right? So we are assuming that she does not actually know the story. But for whatever reason, Delmonda, who apparently is still alive, or whatever the entity that is, psychic entity, that's still not totally clear what the deal is there.
Yeah.
But that person gave her the tapes to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So unless Delmonda came and was like, "Hey, you're gonna hear some crazy fucked up shit here," we don't know what the conversation between Delmonda and
Dr.
Lear was.
There's no point.
Yeah,
as they so perfectly told us, there's like, don't assume anything yet. At the very end,
right? Yeah. She's like, you thought you knew, but you don't fucking know shit,
right?
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's like talking to the audience, really.
Yeah, but it was in a good way. I enjoyed it. I thought this episode was well structured.
I found this episode pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah, because last week's episode was good, but I think it was me who commented that it was sort of like that. It was episode number 5 of 9, straight up the middle.
It's not 7 of 9. It's not 7 of 9.
It's the hinge episode. There was lots of exposition, a lot of like setting the chess pieces.
Well,
up.
It was the fifth episode.
That's what I said. It was 5 of 9. It's the hinge episode.
It's 5 of 10, isn't it?
No, it's 9 episodes.
Are you sure about
I'm
that?
I'm sure of it. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Who says?
The number of episodes that's in the list. While you visually confirm that, I will continue my point, which was,
how is that even possible?
That episode was a lot of setting up the pieces.
It was a lot of city alpha fiving up pieces.
Yes, it was. This episode was like stuff happening, more stuff actually.
Yeah. It was pretty interesting, exciting. We see that Ivan is starting to become the true problem that it kind of seemed like he was going to be from the start. Maybe he's not a Judas type character, but he is a problem that's going to have to be dealt with.
And he makes it even clearer with his whole business about talking about how Khan was like forced to his knees and humiliated and embarrassed. And he's acting like he's like helping Khan, but you know, I don't know. It's like,
I mean, he still could turn on Khan. We never know.
Well, I predicted, I forget if it was in the first episode or second episode. Predicted is not a fair way to put it. I suggested that Ivan could be one of those characters, those classic people who buys into the cult philosophy too much, mm-hmm. right? So you have the, could be cult leaders, political leaders, whatever you want to call it, not necessarily nefarious, but a group controlled by a highly charismatic group of people, and they are given a philosophy and told that this philosophy is like the lattice upon which to hang their life. Now, the people who came up with the philosophy, first of all, they're just kind of cobbled it together from other stuff, probably, right? Usually that's how it is. They might buy into it too, but they're the leaders. They're probably egomaniac, crazy people. Not always, but sometimes they are. And when they are, they kind of want to do what they want to do. Khan is exactly that person. Khan, even some of his own people have complained about Khan moving the goalposts and being like, this is our plan. Oh, the plan didn't work out. I'm just going to pretend like this was my plan the whole time to end up on this fucking planet or whatever, right?
That's, he must be taught better.
Khan is the leader type where he buys into his shit, but only insofar as like he just wants to be able to justify and rationalize whatever he wants to do. Ivan actually, I think, buys into this shit for real all the way. So he's one of the people who can be like, Khan has been corrupted by a human or an alien psychic telepath, and he could use that as an excuse to kill Khan, right? And say that he's doing it to help Khan.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think I made that point in one of the previous podcasts, but that's the kind of thing that the path I kind of see Ivan going as the purist who is so pure that he ends wanting to overthrow the leader.
It's kind of like in Fight Club, minor spoilers for Fight Club coming up. So skip ahead 20 seconds if you don't want to hear minor spoilers for Fight Club, when he's like, if I ever back out of this super plan we're into, cut off my balls. Mm-hmm. And the guys are like, you told us that if you ever back out of this plan, we're supposed to cut your balls off.
Yeah.
But that was like the other him. So that was like the other him was Ivan and the him is Khan.
Yeah.
I was trying to keep it vague, but I think people who've seen it will know what I mean.
The interesting thing about that is that you did give very minor spoilers, but they almost don't make sense because you referenced the much, much more major spoiler in that movie without explaining the major spoiler.
I know. I'm pretty good like that.
So you, anyway.
I'm pretty amazing if you think about it.
I won't deny that.
Now. Yeah.
I will never deny that.
I'm super.
You are.
Perfect.
Anything else with the Tuvok and Dr. Lear stuff? It is cool to know that Dr. Lear was clever enough to guard her files so that when Tuvok got in there, and you got to presume, even as an ensign, Tuvok's got to be pretty clever with these things. He's a security fellow, right? So
it was pretty clever.
Is it possible that the most devious and nefarious criminals in the Federation are our academics?
It almost seemed like he was making a joke, even though it's like you could say no, he was being serious. It felt like a joke.
I think it was a joke.
Yeah, it seemed like a joke.
I think it was a Vulcan joke.
It was a Vulcan joke.
I think Vulcans are always telling.
It wasn't human. It wasn't a human joke. It was a Vulcan joke. I remember it because in Strange New Worlds, Spock was always like, "Is that a human joke?"
Yeah,
or whatever.
The thing about Vulcans is you sort of get the impression that given how prejudiced and ridiculous they can be, just out in the open. In a mixed group, you got to wonder what kind of jokes they're telling themselves, right? When they're by themselves, when they're just among Vulcans, and being all fucked up and about non-Vulcans. Yeah. I bet they say some fucked up shit. Yeah. I bet some of them say that fucked up shit and think that they're just doing it to be funny, but they don't realize that they're still sort of furthering negative stereotypes of humans and blue Andorians and fucking pig-faced motherfuckers.
Pig-faced motherfuckers. Yeah.
Tellarites.
It's kind of like like, what do you think girls talk about when the guys aren't around? Think they talk about gross farts?
Yeah, I mean. It's not exactly what I was going for.
No, I know. But
it is an analogy, though.
It is
I'll give
analogy.
You that, Dan.
Thanks.
I'll give you that any day of the week.
Wow.
Okay, I think other than the fact—
You have no right.
Other than that sort of black and white thing, stuff Sulu was talking about— I don't know. I found it a little unusual for the character.
Yeah, the whole evil thing.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, I had, that is actually part of one of my goofy lines things.
Well, you know what? How about this? Let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll start with your goofy line list, because, and that's a good one just to call out, because it also references something, a bugaboo that I have.
A boogabag. A peekaboo.
When you call something evil, it's almost like a shortcut. It's giving them a get out of jail free card, because like, oh, they're evil. It's like, come on. I don't know.
We've talked about this before.
Reference previous episodes of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
It is difficult.
For more details on our thoughts on evil, both as a both as a literary device and a philosophical description of all the horrible things in reality. But we've got to take a break, and when we get back, we will we'll have a very brief fun 'em up, and we'll have Dan's list of goofy shit, goofy lines. Shit. All right, we'll be right back.
Hurry.
And we're back.
Listen.
Oh, all right. Pithy. What a pithy little clip. That's a pithy clip, Dan.
Yes.
Yeah. Admirable.
Well, you'll have to one day do some sort of analysis to determine what the mean, median, and mode lengths of clips that you pull are.
The risk to all is too great.
It was a very interesting sentence construction that I had, but I think it made sense in the end.
Yeah, there was another interesting sentence when Marla MacGyver's, okay. Yeah. When she says,
I forbid you to harm anyone else.
Is that really how you structure that sentence? I forbid you to harm anyone else. Wouldn't it be like, I forbid you from harming anyone else? I forbid you to harm. It just seems like that isn't quite how you would say it.
I think you can say it that way, but I agree. It's interesting. It catches the ear in an odd way.
We all know what she's saying, which is the ultimate purpose of communication, right? But
okay. Now I have to challenge you on this, Dan. not challenge.
I don't know what you find funny about what I said. You're doing the Paget laugh thing. Laugh for no reason. What you said was so cute, Dan. No, I'm going to laugh about it. Oh, Dan, that's adorable.
I think you'll
appreciate. Now I have to wonder if you really meant what you think you meant.
I have to appreciate this because I just thought it was funny that you were all like, "Well, we all know what this is referring to, which is the secret to all communication." Like you just assumed we all know what you're referring to, and then saying it's the most important part of communication is knowing that thing that you referred to.
I said the most important. Now I'm having trouble figuring out how to construct this sentence.
This might be one of those things that's actually ironic.
It actually might be. What I was saying is the greatest purpose.
I'm sorry.
The point of communication is to, like, convey your message is basically what I said.
Rock and roll.
And so I don't know what you thought I said.
I'm right there with you.
I just reworded what I said, but that's what I was saying. I said we understood what she said, even though the construction might not have been correct, but who cares, because we know what she meant, and that is what's important about communication.
Okay.
There are many things important about communication, but I would go out on a limb and say that's the most important part of communication is to convey your message.
All right.
Now, if you want to do it beautifully, fantastic, but if you convey your message beautifully, but you do a poor job of, but it doesn't actually convey what you're trying to say properly, then I would say that maybe, to each their own, but I'd recommend you work on that.
I think you'd make a strong argument. We could also pull in the late, great Marshall McLuhan, who, of course, was famous for saying, the medium is the message, which is another thing that we've discussed at length in the past about how the mechanism through which you communicate that message flavors that message itself, too, and can be a part of the communication, right?
There's no other choice, Ursula.
That sounded like a non sequitur, but it really wasn't.
Okay.
Because there's no other choice than to have the medium it being the message.
Okay. Can you play that again?
It was weird.
There's no other choice, Ursula.
Right. Okay.
Why bother?
Well, I'll tell you one reason we bother. Because we live to have a little bit of fun. And, there's been all this AI business going around. You heard about this stuff, Dan? AI?
A thing or three.
Artificial intelligence. Mm. We've utilized it.
Artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence.
We've used it a couple times. We made some of these AI songs.
That's what you've done.
Well, I've done. I mean, Dan likes to distance himself from the use of AI, and I understand it.
I don't have anything against it. I just don't want to rely on it too heavily.
Well, no, and I agree, and I think it's we always do like to try to point out if it's not abundantly clear that when we play our little AI tunes or whatever else, it's because we think it's hilarious because they don't sound like real music, you know? There's something
missing.
Yeah,
it's fun.
And used in a comedic context is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Used in a replacing art with a bunch of bullshit is less funny. I also am increasingly less worried about it because I think AI has trouble. It's gotten pretty fucking awesome. It's pretty amazing and interesting in what it's been able to do.
It is.
But, I don't know. There's still like a vibe to it that's not, I don't know. We'll see.
You know, it's the way things are going. There's no reason to hate on it excessive. Well, okay, I'm not going to tell people how to feel.
There's
reasons to be annoyed with it because of its implementation is done poorly, and people often think that they could implement it in place of things that they actually can't.
And of course, the training with stealing everybody's information.
Yeah, stealing people's information, trying to apply it to things that it's not meant to be applied to, trying to do it in total absence of a human until we're left with a system that just doesn't work at all, and it's too late to figure out how to fix it.
It's just eating itself.
And nobody knows how to fix it because they used AI to write it in the first place.
I forgot how to write Fortran. I don't know what to do.
So, I mean,
I don't know any Fortran anymore. Hey, y'all know anybody knows any COBOL?
The point is
there is no COBOL.
I think that we should be trying to put our efforts into making sure AI is used properly instead of trying to be like, AI is evil and terrible, let's get rid of it. It's here. We might as well get used to it, but we should put effort into making sure it's done correctly.
Which is a great protest slogan. Is a little less pithy to like, we're here, we're queer, get over it.
Right.
What was yours? We're here. We've got to build a structure, a policy structure, socio-political policy structure around it. I can't remember exactly what you said, but
it wasn't pithy, as you said.
But we will workshop that.
See, you did the thing again.
What?
Nothing.
No, it's a segue into the thing I'm doing here. You just,
Dan. Dan, so adorable, Dan.
Dan doesn't even know what
I'm
doing.
So adorable, Dan. You make me laugh with your cuteness. One day you will learn, but not today.
It is always funny when you choose to make that characterization.
There is simply no place for you in a civilized society.
I cannot disagree with that either, Dan. There's a lot of things you're saying tonight I cannot disagree with. Maybe a few that I can dismiss, but none that I can disagree with. Anyway, I brought up the whole AI business because everyone's got the AI with the chatbots and this, that, and the other thing.
The Bort bots.
There's some positives. There's
and the negatives. The flapjacks and the snaps.
It's an interesting cultural moment dealing with the emergence of this technology and navigating the shifts and the building of the culture and all that.
The shifts in the building of the culture.
It mimics in some ways, for those who are around for it, the development of the culture around the internet. There's a few waves of that, of course. Like
wave files, sounds.
There's the endless summer when it used to be that in the fall, every time there was a new class of people who showed up at college, they got access to this fledgling internet. They would get on the message boards. They would act like assholes. They would be taught the culture, the etiquette. Then they would get good at it, and then it would reset every year. The endless summer refers to when AOL gave everyone access, and there was nobody there to kind of teach the culture and the etiquette, and then it kind of became a little bit of a worldwide west.
I think our first year in college...
Worldwide west. I'm sorry. I did not... That was not a joke. That was a... I misspoke. And I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I know.
Somebody out there is going to like that I said worldwide west, but I wanted to make it clear that was not me being super clever. I misspoke. I take no credit for that.
They have poisoned your mind.
I was going to say, our first year in college was, I think... one of the first years they introduced T1 lines.
Yes.
Was it T1? T1 lines so for fast internet. And it was amazing because we were used to dial up. And now we're like, we go to college and we get these fast fucking lines of internet.
We go to college to get some knowledge and some T1 lines.
We went to college to get more knowledge, unlike some people who went to Jupiter to get more stupider. Mm-hmm. We weren't those people, were we?
Not at that time. Maybe not later.
Maybe later.
But all of that is to say,
we are not invulnerable.
It is a long digression to say that we have some history with these chatbots, and I'm always reminded, I think I've referenced it a few times on the podcast before, of an old chatbot, and I thought, why don't we talk about Star Trek instead of chatting with ChatGPT?
In my head I'm going to guess, and then I'll tell you if I'm
all right, you guess in your head, and then I'll start up the old chatbot, and then you'll say exactly what I thought, and I will accuse you of lying.
Yeah.
All right, even though I'm going to do that, even though I'm going to know you're not lying. Because there's no reason for you to lie about this.
I'm making the first letter.
All right, here we go.
Dr. Spaceful.
Yeah.
My creative labs. Please enter your name.
Okay. Doctor, loading up Dr. Spaceo. Now, for those who are unaware, Dr. Spaceo.
I knew it.
Was a program that came with the Sound Blaster.
I was making an S with my finger.
The Sound Blaster was an add-on card, right, mm-hmm. that you'd stick in your computer.
Back when computers didn't necessarily come with sound.
Yeah, most of them didn't. Most of them
most
at first
came
with
like
beeps and boops, and you had to get a Sound Blaster to play a 16-bit stereo.
And it was amazing, because when I played Adventure of Monkey Island, or whichever one of those games, going from beeps and boops to an actual MIDI-supported Sound Blaster card, the music was amazing. It was mind blowing.
Truly,
it really changed the whole vibe of the game.
Yeah,
great music.
Absolutely. And Dr. Spaceo was an app.
Dr. Spaceo.
What we today would call an app, back then we would call a program.
That
came with the Sound Blaster to sort of demonstrate its capabilities.
What does this have to do with Star Trek?
We're going to ask it some Star Trek questions.
Oh.
So it's asking. It says, "Please enter your name." So I'm going to say, "It's." Hi. It's
got enter alphabet only.
Sorry, what doesn't it's,
well,
it doesn't. O God. D drop. S D R.
This is so tedious.
Star.
It's only the first this part. Hold
R.
Get out of my mind, you filth.
Okay.
There we go. Okay.
Hello, it's Scott Star Trek. My name is Dr. Spaceo. I am here to help you. Say whatever is in your mind freely. Our conversation will be kept in strict confidence.
Can you make it
memory contents will be wiped off after you leave.
Can you make
so,
it?
Tell me about your problems.
Can you make it say penis? Because I like how it pronounces penis.
I don't know, because sometimes... Here, I'll try. Okay, I'll just type penis.
If you want to talk about this, tell me your age first.
Tell me your age first. I'll type in 21.
So you think you are big enough? Prove it.
Whoa. Tell it to say the word.
Who do you think?
Tell it to say the word penis.
why did you get all quiet? You're all like, tell it to say the word
penis. Because that game you play in school where everyone says penis louder and
I'll
louder.
Say, can you say the word penis?
Penis?
You should not talk about this openly.
Do you like licking wiener? Wieners?
What are we
doing?
I am
only a simple computer program. Don't expect too much.
Okay, because it's funny, because when it says penis, it would always pronounce it penis.
Yes, penis.
Penis.
There's a way to do that. We'll see if we can get it.
I don't know if we have enough time.
Because the gag here was...
We quickly got derailed on this.
I know, I was going to ask it like a Star Trek question, like...
They must be killed.
Do you like Star... Oh, hold on.
Star. I am a robot.
Why am I talking like that?
I am a
do you
robot.
Like Star Trek?
I do not
I
like things.
I am Dr. Spaceo.
Dr. Spaceo.
Do you like Star Trek?
We were discussing about you, not me.
Oh, that fucking line.
I like Star Trek. Can you talk about Star Trek with me?
Do you want me to be able to talk about Star Trek with me?
Yes.
So, what is your problem?
Whoa, why is he so belligerent?
I think he means he's a doctor, he's a psychologist.
Sounds belligerent to me. He's like, what's your problem?
But he's asking what the problem is. I have a sad penis.
Go to a biology class.
Would you like to try it again?
What is your problem? Hold on.
What is it that you really want to do?
Okay. How long is your Star Trek?
Find it out yourself.
I don't even know what he said.
He said, find it out yourself.
This guy is belligerent.
Can I touch your...
Riker.
If you want to.
I said, can I touch your Enterprise?
Okay, this is devolved quickly.
Captain Kirk is cool.
I'm not sure I understand you.
All right.
It's useless.
Okay, you are useless. This bit is over.
I think you are also useless. This bit is over.
What the fucking asshole? I told you he was belligerent. When he said, what's your problem? He was like, what's your problem?
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Bye.
Goodbye. So long.
Are you kidding me with this?
Oh, it says continue, new patient, or quit. That's funny. So anyway, that's all I want to do. I meant that to be like a couple minutes, but as usual, we devolved into some nonsense.
Before we even started, we devolved into. I am not innocent in this.
But I always loved Dr. Spatzo.
Again,
at the time, mind blowing that it could do that. As ridiculous as it sounds now, clearly the chatbots have improved somewhat. Not necessarily that much. This guy still misunderstands shit, just like ChatGPT and some of them. You gotta speak very clearly. But
he must be taught better.
Anyway, okay. So now we get back to our discussion, and we had a list. Dan,
goofy lines.
Dan had a list of goofy lines.
Goofy lines.
Goofy lines.
So the first one is Tuvok and Sulu. As Tuvok says, "May I ask, Captain, what is it you fear?" Sulu says, and we were talking about this earlier, "When I look at Khan, I don't see a mystery that needs to be solved. The problem with evil isn't that we don't understand it. It's that the practice of it is incompatible with the peace and happiness of all other living things. If your happiness depends upon the suffering of others, if peaceful coexistence through painful compromise is an unacceptable outcome, there is simply no place for you in a civilized society." Yeah. Okay, I don't see how this relates at all to any of Lear's research. She specifically said that the reason she's studying Khan is because she said evil's not born, it's created or whatever. So she's trying to figure out what's causing people to be an asshole, right?
And in part. Yeah.
But that is one of her goals that she stated. And so what Sulu says is unrelated completely to her, because he's saying, "I don't see it as a mystery that needs to be solved." Of course it is. If you want to, he's saying evil sucks, right? It's bad. Yeah. It's a shitty thing. I was like, well, first of all, it's in the name, evil. Yeah, by definition, evil sucks. So thanks for explaining to us that evil is bad, something that everyone knew in the first place. And I get that he's sort of pontificating it on a little more, but yes, it's something that should be analyzed and examined, because like she said, I don't think people are born this way. It's from outside sources. So if we do sort of like unravel this mystery a little bit, maybe we can make people less of an asshole in the future. So I don't see how what Sulu's saying has any relevance.
Well, it's because
she's not trying to introduce more cons into the world. She does admire them, but she seems to have the same goal as him, which is to prevent this from happening.
There appears to be, getting back to your old point about communication and the conveying your message being the
ill
important thing. Conveying a message is one thing, but I think they're in a sense talking past each other, or at least Sulu is talking past her, because the problem is Sulu's statement is contingent on him having already declared and determined that Khan is evil.
Right. That's another problem with this
thing.
And
she is saying, I'm not yet declaring that, because presumably if she listened to these tapes and in every tape Khan was all like, yes, let's rape and fucking murder.
Right.
Yes. Then she might be like, you know what, this guy sucks.
Right.
But she's arguing that there were circumstantial things that led him to make decisions that were not the correct decisions, maybe, or the moral decisions, but they were not crazy decisions.
Right.
And that's something they've been very good with this whole thing, including with Sulu, by the way, because like even Sulu's statement is not, based on his experience with Khan, is not a crazy thing for him to have already assumed this. But the problem is he's already assumed this, as opposed to the academic person who wants to actually investigate.
So that's another...
No mystery to solve.
That's the other issue, is that, first of all, we're on this whole evil thing again, which undermines the nuance that is supposed to be attached to the character of Khan in this story, right? There's supposed to be a nuance. We're supposed to be sort of understanding why he's making the decisions he's making and how he's learning. And Sulu calls him evil. She calls him kind of an asshole that she kind of admires a little bit, but he's still an asshole. If you pretend those are one and the same, which of course they're not, they both have... Like she has the goal of, like both of us said, is trying to sort of prevent this from happening again. So what he says is like completely irrelevant, you know, and he's just basically saying, you know, the problem with evil is that it's disruptive to good. It's like, oh, thanks for the update. That's not news, you know. So I just don't know, like, simply because Khan is evil, we shouldn't be studying him.
I agree. I think it's I don't know.
And first of all,
lazy is not the right word.
And then the evil, and of course evil, and then he's not evil, you know.
Well,
or whatever evil is supposed to be.
I think we can
evil's like a silly fantasy. It's an ideal.
There's a couple things to separate out here.
An ideal of badness.
We can just state, okay, evil is sort of a lazy idea to begin with. Put that aside. I think you and I both agree on that. But even still, then you have, okay, Sulu is saying he's decided that Khan is a bad dude, and so he's not stressed about this. He's like, why are you putting all this effort into it? That's a lazy, intellectually lazy argument also. It's like, well, why the fuck? If she wants to do it, if they want to give her the resource to do it, why, what's the problem for her to find new information? Hence, Sulu having the angle of, I'm cool with it if she's just trying to find information, even though he doesn't seem to be, but he's kind of working the angle of like, I think she's up to some fucked up shit. I think she has a bias. I think she's coming at it from a fucked up angle, in which case then you could say, okay, then he would have an argument to be not into it. But the thing I wanted to say to make the further point, which is where I'm not digging this characterization of Sulu in this storyline, is that I kind of think it's a ridiculous thing for the character to think, because their experiences with Khan were that Khan tried to take over the ship, and then later he took over another ship and tried to like blow up the Enterprise. He did not genocide a planet.
Space.
He did not successfully take over the Klingon Empire. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not Gul Dukat. Yeah. He's not the changelings, right? He's not one of these other characters or groups of characters who have actually committed horrific atrocities. And even those, even Gul Dukat and stuff, there's all this interesting stuff around that. And it's, of course, a longer form on Deep Space Nine. They were able to discuss this at length. But Khan, he's just being declared as evil when it's like, okay, yeah, even if you think he's a bad dude because he was like trying to kill you, I get it. You should think he's a bad dude.
Yeah.
That's sort of like a different order of magnitude than quote unquote evil.
Well, he says it right here when he says, I don't see it as a mystery that needs to be solved. And he says, because if you're evil, there's no place for you in civilized society. Yeah. That is the definition of dismissive. Yeah. He's like, we don't need to solve this. And that's the exact problem.
We'll
that
remove
you
from civilized society so we can torture you?
And that's the exact problem that you brought up, Patrick, is that the problem with calling something evil is it's dismissive. It means we can say, get rid of this thing. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to think about its point of view. We don't have to think about anything that makes it work because it's evil. There's no sense to it. We just get rid of it. That's all we care about. And that's precisely what Sulu is pointing out. The thing that you've pointed out about before about how this is the problem with calling it evil is because it implies that. But he's not implying that. He's saying that. He's like, it's not a mystery. If you're evil, there's no place for you in society. And so what? Therefore, we don't even bother studying you because it had nothing to do with outside forces. He was just born that way. It's just a weird line.
I don't think that was necessary for the character. I think there was already sufficient antagonism just sort of with the bias angle, the protecting Captain Kirk's memory angle. That's more emotionally grounded in the character of Sulu. Sulu was never a particularly black and white kind of character, and he's not even black and white here on other things other than just sort of declaring Khan as this bad guy. Mm. Okay, whatever. It makes it a little less interesting to me.
Yeah.
For the sake of a little heightened argument between him and Dr. Lear, and then the later argument between Dr. Lear and Tuvok.
But one thing that is not evil is Luna's fluffy tail.
Oh, yeah. Our cat. I've got my cat Luna down here. She's up being all super fluffy. She's going between Dan and I getting snuggles.
Yeah, she's super fluffy.
Yeah, she's
now she's
here.
Over to Patrick. She was at me before.
I insist.
Okay.
Next funny line. Next goofy line. Now, by the way, I'm not familiar enough with the cocaine culture, and I don't think you are either, Dan.
Okay.
But for the listeners out there, is there a term of art in the cocaine circles about having a goofy line, like where you like make like a zigzag line or something, like when you're putting the coke?
I've never considered that.
And the razor blade, and you're like, oh, instead of
spiral.
Yeah, well, maybe I hadn't thought of it, but that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I just figure if you get bored, right? Yeah. You start doing art or something.
I think that's why people do cocaine, is so they're not bored. So maybe they just don't consider it. Maybe they're just too they just want to do that cocaine so quickly.
But then you could do cocaine and then make it into like little goofy zigzag.
Make it
goofy
even
lines.
More fun. Yeah.
Goofy
it's lines. Like a crazy straw.
Yeah.
Squiggly straw, what do they call them? Wacky straws.
Some places call them crazy straws, but some places call soda pop. So what are you going to do? There's places are
some
crazy.
Places call soda Coke.
I know.
Would you like a Atlanta. Would you like a Sprite Coke?
Sprite Coke.
Coke Pepper. Coke. Pepsi Dr. Coke. Pepper Coke.
All right. Okay. Next goofy line.
Number two. Khan. So, you left to seek a better world, one where you could live as you desired without interference, Del Manda, to live in proximity to those whose values are not inferior, that is not the word. Khan says, less evolved, perhaps. Del Manda says, better, yes, less evolved. Okay, I'm going to play this line. I'm confused by his emphasis on not inferior.
To live in proximity to those whose values are not inferior, that is not the word. The word, the word, the word, the word, the word.
It is funny that this psychic alien has this sort of hilarious, what accent would you call this? I don't know.
I don't even know.
Like
but
Connecticut or something.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know. That was sticking out to me as well. So, does Del Manda mean not inferior as in inferior is the wrong word?
Yes.
So not that. Because then he's saying, to live in proximity to those whose values are less evolved is our goal. That's what he's saying.
Well,
that doesn't make any. That doesn't make any sense.
Khan suggests evolved as an option.
Why would one want to live in proximity with those whose values are less evolved? That's what they were trying to get away from.
Yeah, that's because I thought that's what he was saying. I thought he was saying we don't want to live
right.
We're having trouble living.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was
saying. Is that contained in that line, or maybe we're just missing something?
So here it is again. To live in proximity to those whose values are not inferior, that is not the word.
Yeah, not inferior.
So let's pretend he was saying inferior. Let's say pretend he was inferior is what they meant.
So meant, I don't want to live next to people who are inferior. That's how I'm reading that line. Read it again.
So to live in proximity to those whose values are inferior, basically. Yeah. Now, unless it's a response to Khan, so you left to seek a better world, one where you could live as you desired without interference. Mm. And so they want to live in a world without interference. World. And in this world, they would live in proximity to those whose values are inferior, is what he's saying.
I know that's not
what he meant.
I know he absolutely is not what he meant, but you know, you're right. It is a little confusing.
Right.
Again, how they've
because
put it all together.
Because the other way, does Del Manda mean not inferior, as in not, the word not was not connected to his question of whether inferior was the correct word or not? Because then he would be saying, like, to live in proximity to those whose values are, okay.
Like, similar to ours? To not live in proximity.
To live in proximity. And so he would be saying, to live in proximity to those whose values are not inferior, that's not the word. You know what I'm saying? Instead of saying, to live in proximity to those whose values are not inferior, that's not the word. He is instead saying, to live in proximity to those whose values are not inferior, that's not the word. Because then he would be saying, not inferior.
Yeah.
This is really confusing for me to explain, but I hope I'm making some amount of sense.
Well, and then I'm already slightly aggravated with the term less evolved.
There's those distractions as well.
Just because, again, it's hard to call something less or more evolved if it's an extant creature.
Yeah.
Right? That's not how evolution works.
So it seems like what he was trying to say is they want to live in proximity to those whose values are
similar to theirs, presumably.
Not inferior, not less involved. But the sentence structure doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and I guess we'll talk about this when we come back from the break, but the other interesting aspect is both that we find out that they are exiles, just like Khan and his crew.
Right.
But they're seemingly hippie exiles?
It's hard to say. I'm surprised Khan didn't like take note of that more. If I were Khan and they said they were exiled, I would be suspicious of that.
Yeah. Or, hey, bro, we're exiles too. Let's party.
Yeah, but
exiles for different reasons.
But Khan,
we were assholes. But, you guys are cool.
But Khan's already a suspicious person. So I would think, like, why were they kicked off their planet? Were they assholes in that planet? Like,
were they pilgrims?
Were just assholes that got. Were they not? Are they not as innocent as they make themselves seem? So do you want to go to the next one?
Let's do the next one after the break, because you made me think of a brief reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
In which
you throw yourself at the ground and miss.
No, that's good too, but there's one,
because that's actually surprisingly accurate. Yeah. How to fly.
Yeah, that's the way to fly. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy teaches you, the trick is just throw yourself at the ground and miss.
Yeah, which is correct.
Which is exactly how we do it. Orbital mechanics. Ballistic trajectory. No, but what happens is there's a planet, and the planet scientists all get together. They announce that the sun's going to go supernova. The planet's going to be vaporized. And so they have to build, they're going to build three ships, and they're going to, you know, escape the dying planet or whatever on these three ships. And one of the ships gets all like the scientists and stuff. And the other ships, one of the other ships gets all like the artists and sexy people and stuff. And then the other ship gets like all the blue collar workers and stuff. But like, it turns out it was like a gag or something where Like, they just wanted to, like, get rid of the blue-collar workers, and they were like, we'll be right behind you. And then, of course, there's a fun joke in the end where, because the blue-collar workers were all gone, nothing could get fixed. So
right.
Everyone else died. Anyway, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a cool new book. All the kids should read it. Yeah. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
I must go to them.
Dismissed, Ensign.
And we're back.
Continue communication.
Please speak freely.
Number three. Khan says, in my experience, altruism is the highest form of self-interest. Now, they spend so much time belaboring certain points.
Yeah. And just like, go right past this one.
They go right past. They belabor certain points, like, for example, how Khan is, like, leading through fear, and Khan's scared. Like, they keep talking about how Khan's afraid of everything. Marla talks about it. MacGyver talks about it several times, and Delmonda brings it up in this episode. Keep talking about it. But they breeze right past. I suppose one could think it through and make sense of it, but I really think they could have spent a few more words on that statement. Because they simply go, Delmonda just goes, Not always the case. It's not always, and it's like, well, can you explain? Just tell me what, let me know what you mean by that. And I'll see if it makes sense with what I think it means, you know, because you left that one a little wide open.
A little bit. I wondered why they didn't go into that more. I thought maybe.
Why even bring it up?
I thought maybe it would come up later. And who knows? Maybe it'll come up later in the series, but it felt like it was just sort of hanging out there.
Yeah. It was just kind of like a philosophical statement that they didn't follow up on and didn't even explain what they really meant by it. Like I said, if you want to think it through, you could come up with a reason, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think it was worthy of an explanation.
I agree.
Okay. Number four. Lear says, my source, the individual who gave me the original logs, was named Delmonda.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun.
Right. Why didn't she just say, my source, the individual who gave me the original logs, was Delmonda? Instead of was named Delmonda. I know it was all for a dramatic effect, but Tuvok knew who it was. It's like, and she, like, he.
Well, if Tuvok has caught up on all her logs, right? We know he was recently ordered to steal her logs or copy her logs. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many of them he has and if he has access to the tapes or not, or just her logs, because it seems like maybe he only has access to the logs.
I mean, to me, it just seemed like it was being very obviously dramatic. Just by saying was named Delmonda,
we're
very familiar with this character of Delmonda. They could have just said was Delmonda, or better yet, she could have just said my source was Delmonda.
Yeah.
My source was Delmonda. Who was your source? Oh, my source. It was Delmonda. She could have just said that. I get it. It's for dramatic effect, but it stood out a little to me.
And by the way, I'm really enjoying the name Delmonda for some reason.
And then
Melborians.
And then there was the one who died, Sikonda.
Sikonda?
Yeah.
Oh, so does Delmonda, is Delmonda, Sikonda?
I don't know if it's spelled
S-E-S. Oneida, the Oneiders.
Oh, Elborians?
The Elborians is the group of people, except what was it? Was it Paolo or somebody who was like, you mean the Elbs?
Yeah, the Elbs.
Oh, no, was that Joaquin?
No, that was Joaquin. Joaquin's dead.
Joaquin is dead.
Joaquin.
He's alive.
And Tuvok is also like, Delmonda, the Elborian? And, you know, if the audience hasn't figured out that Delmonda is an Elborian by now, they're in trouble. So I didn't think Tuvok needed to be like, you mean the Elborian? Like, it just is.
You mean the Elbs?
It just didn't.
I'm not a fan of that.
It was just too much. It was over explaining something that's been
explained.
Yeah.
All right.
Last one.
Is this number five or six?
Five. It's
number
last
five.
One.
That's
still alive.
Yeah. Number five is alive.
Tuvok says, so if your Delmonda is the same individual who crashed on SETI Alpha 5 and promised to build Khanna's ship, that suggests. And Lear goes, and I know, I kind of like this, but also.
So he did listen.
I like this, but I also think it's goofy. He goes, so if Delmonda is the same individual who crashed on SETI Alpha 5 and promised to build Khanna's ship, that suggests. And she goes, don't get ahead of yourself. Until we know the rest of the story, assumptions are useless. They're talking right to the audience with that one.
Yeah.
It's like, you think you know what's going to happen next, but wait till next week.
That's directed right.
It's like, hey, listener, don't know everything just yet. Just you wait, listener.
Wait.
That's for future, listener. And then Tuvok says, apologies. But at the very least, we now know that at some point Delmonda escaped the planet. The question is how? And then that's basically them saying, like, it's cool, though. We'll sum up the importance of this episode as it relates to what's happened so far. We just don't think you're going to know next week. It was directed right at the audience of being like, you don't know what happened. You don't know what's going to happen, but we'll sum up what did happen for you right here. So.
They should have, like, a next week, Star Trek Con.
Like, really quickly edited, like, you know.
Echo, echo, echo.
Produced by iPodcast Productions, Inc.
iPodcast Productions.
Now, you have a list of things, and we're going to get to that in a second. I did want to comment on two things. One, that we see parallel streams happening. On the one hand, Khan not following good advice. On the other hand, sometimes he is taking other people's advice, particularly Marla's advice. Mm-hmm. He's not taking all her advice, but he's taking more and more of it, which is interesting.
Yeah, he is. He has been taking.
And the other thing is Khan makes when he's talking to Delmonda about eating food and stuff.
Yeah.
He's all like, and we got these like rocking yellow berries.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe these fucking yellow berries. We haven't named them yet. The person who's in charge of naming them has been slacking on that.
Yeah, Erica.
Erica's got to get off her goddamn ass and name those goddamn berries.
She's been self-conscious about that too. I'll get to name my berries.
I get to name the berries before I die.
These are potatoes. We call these rainbow tails. A beverage we call vodka.
Ractagino, extra sweet. Mock of a bread, no crust.
Oh, and there was that ASMR bone eating. Did you get any of that ASMR?
Yeah, I played that at the beginning.
Yeah, play it again.
It was,
Oh, you are meant to eat around the bones.
And then the dude's all like, no. Like,
you are Joachim.
I am Khan's woman.
Calcium is an essential nutrient source.
Joachim can fish better than everyone else.
Yeah, apparently he's a fisherman. Fisher person.
Another.
Yeah, so Paolo's their scientist. Joachim is their fisherman. And I guess Erica is their
botanist. She said she was trained in botany. But I guess she does animals too.
Animal. I don't know what Sylvana was, what her function was.
You'd think she'd be some sort of woodland elf with her name, but perhaps that's unfair.
And then
nominative determinism is not always a thing. Mm. Perhaps usually not.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good job, Dan. So you have a list. You have a list, Dan,
just
of
going,
the pieces, of the parts.
Of the bits and pieces.
Yeah, zoom through, and then we can comment accordingly. Jesse and I can comment.
Jesse's still in mind land. Yeah. Feel better, Jesse.
You went down to some echoey caves.
Feel better, Jesse. I don't miss you. I don't miss you, Jesse.
Holograms?
Begins with Tuvok and Sulu. Sulu wants Tuvok to spy on Lear, like we talked about. Tuvok's into her.
He wants her to Lear on Lear.
Lear on Lear. Yeah, that's good. Man, clever. Man, clever. She's leering at the history.
She's leering at the history.
Tuvok likes her work. Sulu doesn't, because they're both impressed, but Sulu thinks she's up to no good, just trying to fuck shit up. He's getting a little suspicious of Tuvok for being so impressed, and so he's like, asks him if he's refusing a direct order, which of course he's not. Sulu gives the line about the problem with evil. The scene ends with him playing for Elise, which is the background to the next part, which is Marla MacGyver's. Oh, I almost said MacGyver's. Mm-hmm. Part two, Marla MacGyver's log. They've been in exile for 208 days, which is basically where we left the last episode. Khan's confused by Delmonda's generosity. She thinks it's likely that Khan's relationships have all been transactional, and she thinks it's probable that Delmonda is cool. But Khan, this is a theme where Khan's just confused every time someone's nice and doesn't expect something in return.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And interesting. Mm-hmm. Just this concept of not understanding people could just be pleasant.
Right.
And one thing that they're not stressing, which I'm a little surprised about, they seem to be taking the angle, certainly with what Sulu is saying and stuff, that taking the angle that, like, oh, being nice is a reward. It's good to be nice. It's morally correct to be nice. I think they should be making the more practical argument that actually, you know, sometimes working together and being generous is beneficial to you. It goes to that whole altruism is whatever.
Right.
It would actually feed into that idea a little bit.
Which they could have done with that line.
If you want to communicate with Khan, that's how you got to communicate with him to some degree, or at least to get a foot in the door intellectually, to give him a practical reason.
People always talk about, like, oh, it makes me feel good to give to others. And yes, that's where altruism would be self-interest. self-interested base, yeah. but like to be the highest form of self-interest, I don't, that's a little, strong, I don't know. But yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
You don't get it.
I don't get it.
So yeah, that's, so he waited for Delmonda to, so she was talking about how Khan waited for Delmonda to come to him until she suggested that Khan go to Delmonda, which he did, to her astonishment. And so, like you were just saying, Patrick, Khan is really starting to listen to others, specifically Marla. Yeah. So this kind of started when he was with the whole grief thing, where he didn't want to acknowledge the dead people, and she was like, "You got to acknowledge the dead people." And so
what are you going to do, Khan? You got to acknowledge the dead people.
So scene three is Khan and Delmonda chatting. It's kind of neat how Delmonda's communication is better, but it's not because his vocabulary is increasing, but it's because Khan's mind powers are better at vibing with Delmonda's. I thought that was kind of
I agree. And an interesting way to interpret that.
Yeah.
And we find out Delmonda is not keen on booze.
No.
He's all making fun of the vodka. He's like, that's a blunt instrument.
And how would he know? He didn't try it yet. I guess his mind powers. He knows through telepathy. I guess he.
They're both the Delmonda. No, the Elborians. Delmonda is an Elborian, and the Elborians are both telepathic and telekinetic, which we knew from the crushing of the weapons. But now we have that as more confirmed that they can like lift ships around and stuff in groups of 10. That's what Ivan was talking about.
Telecool. I think they were implying that he was going to have some alcohol, but I would have really liked to see a little bit of a tipsy Delmonda, but that's okay.
We still don't know really what they look like.
Yeah.
They've given us a little bit of maybe they're
weird blobs. So they talk about the nature of Elborian communication and the mind openness and how Khan has his fortresses up blocking his thoughts. Khan gives him some food. Delmonda eats it with the bones for calcium. And then he gives him the vodka. And then, yes, Delmonda knows it's bad news without drinking it. And so,
he just knows the chemical composition. He's like, that's some shady business and stuff.
But he's all for, you know, hallucinogenics, apparently, and stuff
like
that.
Oh, and this is, I don't know if you got this line, but it stood out to me where Delmonda says to Khan in this conversation they're having about information and mind sharing and all that, where Delmonda says, the difference between that which is taken that which is freely given is significant.
Yeah.
Is it not? And like you were saying, Khan's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, here. Right. Yeah.
These whatever concepts you're talking about makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, he's like, why didn't you just take it from me? It's like, because that's kind of a dick thing to do. And he's like, what?
And that's where Delmonda also, shortly after that, Delmonda points, as you stated earlier, Delmonda's like, you're a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
You're ruling through fear.
Yeah.
And from fear, you're making decisions. Based on fear, not on trust and other sources of information.
So they talk about Khan apologized for the vodka, but he insists that he drinks it anyways. I don't trust anyone I haven't drink with, whatever. They talk about the water that will apparently only last them 5 years, but isn't that thing like a million miles wide or whatever? I guess eventually it just dries up, even though it's, I mean, I don't know.
Like, I don't think they were saying the water will only last 5 years.
Yeah, they did.
They said they could only survive for 5 years. I didn't take that as specific to any the water. Or anything.
We should be able to.
They have the resources for 5 years, and then you know who knows. Maybe the water gets polluted.
Well, here's the line: the underground caverns you selected are perfect. We should be able to survive there for years, even with the inevitable changes to this plant's environment. We estimate 5 years, and then what? Long term. Okay, so they don't mention the water specifically.
I think they just meant that their understanding of the physics, geology, chemistry, etc., was such that the fucked upness of the atmosphere outside versus what you can do down here, 5 years.
So there's still Paolo's concerns are still very valid.
Absolutely.
So the Elborians, they're fixing their own shit, right? But they're not going home because they were driven from there a while ago, like we mentioned. And I was saying this seems suspicious, and then I was surprised that Khan didn't find it suspicious. That on the one hand, like they're simpatico because they were both sort of felt like they were rejected.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, with the amount of fear Khan has, you'd think he'd at least be like, well, I wonder, did they do something bad or something? It seems suspicious. But Amanda talks about their values or compassion, service to other, tolerance of difference, opinion, and above all, harmony of the pandem. Which is their collection of
space
minds.
Hippies.
Collection of minds bonded beyond convenience or aptitude. So the development of the pandem seemed to come naturally. I'm not clear on this. It like the leadership feared this development of the pandem. Now, my question is, did the pandem come, does it come naturally to Elborians? Or does this saying that either A, the leadership are not Elborians, or B, this idea of the pandem, it's something they can all pursue, but you have to like meditate really hard on it. And maybe these particular group like went harder at this pandem thing than everyone else. It's like the leadership could do it too, but like, they went, it's like maybe this group went super deep into it to a point that the leadership feared, or is the leadership just a different species altogether?
No, I took it as a basically an extension of the hippie stereotype. I guess you could say communism stereotype too, although I don't think that's exactly where they'd necessarily be going here. I think they mean it more in a, you know, in a more fun, less political sort of sphere.
They just went hard at it.
The idea being that this group, and again, I'm making some assumptions here. They didn't go deeply into it. I kind of would be interested if they did, maybe in some future episodes, to explain more what the deal is. Because, yeah, my extrapolation of what we were told by Del Mondo was that this is, you know, that Elborians are psychic. They can do this mind-connecting thing. And then a group of them were like, hey, if we just, like, all connect our minds, like, regardless of whether we like each other or like, and he talks about aptitude and stuff. It's like, it doesn't matter how smart or dumb you are. Let's all like team up and like, we'll get the best of the best of everybody. I think that's probably their philosophy, which you could take as a sci-fi extension on a collectivist philosophy of, we will all work together to support each other as our core ideal. And that if they come from an individualistic society, that the individualistic people would be against that and would be threatened by that, especially if their sect was being successful, right? And could then potentially get other people. There are some very, very, very loose connections maybe to the Pluribus show that people haven't seen it. Go watch Pluribus.
Go watch Pluribus.
Pluribus is awesome.
Big fan.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I took it, running away because they were not their type of lifestyle. In other words, having this group collective consciousness was not acceptable on their individualistic homeland.
So they just went really hard at it. They're go hard.
But I could be wrong about that. They could be evil motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like people talk about the Pilgrims. They were kicked out of England, and the English are assholes. It's like, oh, the Pilgrims were pieces of shit. Mm. They were not cool people necessarily.
Totally not cool.
I'm not saying the British people were cool either. But anyway. So I don't want to make an assumption. I don't know if they're leading us in one direction or not. But that's kind of what made sense to me.
So yeah, then Del Mondo starts talking about being oppressed for their beliefs, making it impossible to evolve, which interested Khan. Mm-hmm. And that interested Del Mondo because it sort of, for somehow, gave him a clue into his mind. It's like, he's like, oh, Khan wants to evolve too. I mean, that's not really a big revelation. I don't know how that, I mean, we all want to evolve, right? I don't know.
Although wanting to evolve ipso facto requires necessarily that you know that you are not perfect. Mm. And it is important anytime we have a situation where Khan understands implicitly or otherwise that he is not in fact perfect, even if he can still consider himself to be superior, if not perfect. And so wanting to evolve means that he understands he's not perfect and has some goals.
It's really nice, actually.
Khan can relate to Del Mondo about oppression, except Khan and his people weren't told not to practice their skills. Instead, they were exploited for them. Yeah. So it was like a different thing, but they were both felt like shit on
they ended up exploiting other people.
Yeah. Ah. The abused go on to abuse in this instance, I guess.
They justified their exploitation of other people by ruling over empires, benign or otherwise.
Benigner.
They justified it.
You said benigner.
On two points. One, that they were themselves exploited and created for a terrible purpose. And two, that they were better than everyone else genetically.
Eiples and Beniners. So Del Mondo suspects that Khan isn't telling the whole truth about why they're there. And even though he could steal it and figure it out, he won't, because that's not cool. Which Khan was like confused by someone would place these morals above what he perceives as safety for his group, you know?
Yeah.
Ironically, though, it's this attitude of safety that that could have gotten Khan and company killed during the attack on the Elborians. Because
classic self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, so he's worried about this safety, which means he had a total disregard for like the rights of the other people. But this imposition on the others by way of force, based on an underestimation of the repercussions, mm-hmm. is what got him into this shithole mess to begin with. Yeah. You know, so
you fear a perceived enemy and therefore potentially create that enemy that did not exist before.
Yeah, right. And so it's not just a matter of being nice because it's cool to be nice. It's like it's the smart thing to do sometimes, you know, but he doesn't seem to think that way.
And the thing is, the really fucked up thing about all of this is that Khan and his people, right? This all went down in the 90s. They were around in the 80s, etc. So they could watch those Mr. T infomercials when Mr. T was explaining you should be like cool to yourself and you should love yourself. Mm-hmm. If you watch that, you can't be a bad person, right? I mean, I'm not saying you can't. It's a lot harder. Mm-hmm. So it's another thing that's like shows it's in Sulu's argument corner that maybe they are evil. If we know they could watch Mr. T and not get those kindly messages of being good to yourself and others.
Did you see that episode of Alvin and the Chipmunks that had Mr. T on it?
I did.
And they were in they were eating French fries and he was like, "Hey, you can't eat those fries." And then they were like, "Sorry, Mr. T." And then he goes,
"Without ketchup." Yeah. Man, Mr. T rocks.
Yeah, no.
Mr. T got leukemia and he was like, "No."
He said no. He said no.
Leukemia went away.
Hell yeah.
Just a FYI, that does not work for everybody.
No.
Yeah.
Only Mr. T.
Next item.
So Del Mondo admits that there's sort of this unified society, and Khan basically admits that he's a dictator. And then Khan once again tells Del Mondo that you better stay on your side of the room or else. Like, he still continues to like make these demands.
Like, is that ship to get you guys off my planet?
Yeah, right. And it's like, we've already established that these guys could have crushed you on several occasions. They could crush you the second if they wanted to. Plus, they've done all this nice shit for you. And this guy, Del Mondo, is like, we'll stay on our side if that's what you want. If that's what you want, we'll do that. And he's like, yeah, you better. It's like, I don't know, man. He just seems really dense. Del Mondo quickly agrees to stay on the other side, even though he doesn't have to. But Khan is again confused that Del Mondo agrees. So Khan's making demands, but he also admits that he's outnumbered. Yeah. He's like, why are you doing this? You outnumber us. You could kill us. And then I just want to say, so you know that they outnumber you. You know that they could kill you. Yet you're still making demands, even though you have full knowledge that you're not in the place to do so. I don't even know what you call that. That's not even stupid. That's like, I don't know what call that.
It's peculiar.
Yeah. And then Khan said some stuff he didn't have to. He freely admits that he would have killed them had he been in their position.
Yeah, I know,
which
right?
is unnecessarily stupid.
Well, I guess he's being honest.
Yeah, but he could have kept that to himself. You know, I mean, anyways, Del Mondo said he wasn't going to go into. Anyways, Del Mondo says, "Why not be altruistic?" And that's when Khan gives the line, says, "You know, being altruistic is selfish, or it's the highest form of self interest." And then Del Mondo's like, "What are you so afraid of?" And then, which is the common sentiment coming from Marla that we mentioned earlier. And then Del Mondo basically says, "Living in fear is stupid and boring." And Khan says, "That doesn't matter if you're dead." And that's where that scene ends, basically. So, and number four, that was a long scene. That was a pretty long one, but the rest are shorter, mostly.
You do realize, like, most of the people listening to this podcast have listened to the episode. They don't need like every single line.
I'm not giving every single line.
Okay, then don't give every single line. That's okay.
Are you criticizing?
No, I'm not criticizing.
No, I mean, no, I'm not. I'm
just joking because it was a very long scene. Yeah. Like, and then Khan said this, and then the Del Mondo said this, and then Khan said
so you are criticizing.
No, I'm not criticizing.
No, I mean, it's okay if you are. You're trying to tell me to tighten it up is what you're saying.
You don't get to tighten. I was just comically mentioning that I think people listening to the show
which means you're trying to say, if you're trying to say something, just admit that you're trying to say something.
You stay on your side.
No, I mean, like, you say,
you stay off of my planet.
You're just so ready for me to be insulted, and I'm honestly saying, if you think I should tighten it up, tell me to tighten it up. But when you make it something, when you say something like that, just go like, "Oh, I'm just kidding." That's not kidding. One of those honesty and jokes things. When you go up to someone and say some shit, and you're like, "Oh, just playing with you," and it's like, "No, you were saying something."
Like, hey, what's up, you piece of shit? You fucking asshole! I hate you.
You're hiding behind a joke. You're hiding behind a joke.
No.
And all these points I'm bringing up, we've had a lot of things to say on them.
All right.
But I mean, look, man.
No.
You're free to your opinion. I just want you to be honest with yourself and me about what that opinion is.
And I think that's an honorable thing to believe.
You are hopeless.
Number four. Or five. No, that was number four.
Oh, you're hopeless.
Man, I just had to play that. Number four. Khan's talking to, Ivan's talking about Khan against strategy. Ivan doesn't trust him. Marla's like, don't be stupid. They're the reason we have this delicious water. They both make a... They both make a good point. Ivan makes a good point, though, actually, because they do. It's true that they could kill them whenever they want, and you could fear the idea that they let us live as long as they want.
Yeah,
they could kill us at any moment. So that's not a ridiculous fear to have. Yeah. He just kind of goes overboard with it.
It is an overboard.
But she
thing.
Makes a but she makes a good point that they've not indicated that they're aggressive.
And
so.
and just the idea, like you've been harping on repeatedly, they don't have enough information about these people. So
you've been harping on repeatedly.
I mean that in a positive way.
When someone says harping, it means that in a negative connotation.
No, you've been...
It's a little backhanded.
You've been appropriately pointing out that many of these decisions that they're making...
Harping on repeatedly.
Many of the decisions they're making are not based on sufficient information.
Yeah.
Right? And Ivan, what he's correct about is, hey, go scope shit out. If you can figure out some weaknesses, that's useful information to have. Yeah. I'm not going to say that that's not a reasonable thing to do. Mm-hmm. But then to, you know, I don't want to spoil the thing, but to do what he ends up doing, this seems like a kind of stupid thing to do.
Yeah, Ursula is nervous about him. They feel corralled, and Khan's like, yeah, we got to keep on trucking, but I don't fully trust him either.
Yeah.
And we're kind of wondering, though, is there something they're hiding?
Yeah, sure.
And Ivan goes to track Hassan. Eric, Joaquin do the water thing. Joaquin, rather, calls him the Elbs. That's where we learn they call him that. Joachim's having a crisis. Is like, Khan was everything to my father, all-knowing, all-powerful, and just one of them brought him to his knees without even lifting a finger. I mean, that's not much of a metric, because they couldn't overpower him physically if they had to. It's like, he didn't even lift a finger and he took him down. It's like, well, yeah, but it's not like if he did lift a finger and punched him in the face, he would have won. It's an incompatible metric, basically. But and he's like, and that's when he's like, who am I? You are Joachim. And it's like, I am this, you are that. You know, enough with that shit, you know?
Hey, wait till you find out what next week's episode is called.
Oh yeah, I am something. And then she's like, remember kissing? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, I don't know.
I'm gonna do that again.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm weird about that.
Oh no.
Six is Paolo and Ursula making some kind of med bay. They're digging. They found a hollow wall, and they're happy about it. Yay! Things are looking pretty good.
Until they fucking just start excavating a cave.
Yeah, right. Seven, Ivan and Hassan, they're tracking the Elborians. Ivan's curious why they're transporting all that metal into the closed space. Now, here's the confusing thing, because it seems to indicate, Delmonda indicates that they're building a home to live in, right? Yeah. Now, Ivan thinks that maybe they're building something else. Now, maybe we'll reapproach this one later, but the original the purpose is a little confusing with their original purpose, but he finds that lone Elborian. We don't know why that Elborian's so messed up. They never explain that. Yeah. But we know they're weak by themselves, but we don't know why this one's like, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, I know. Right? Well, I mean, presumably they're all hungry.
Yeah. Yeah, but this one in particular seemed really weak. Yeah. I don't know if like they're just like naturally weak when they're alone, or I don't know. I just thought it meant like they could get their ass kicked when they're alone. But this one was fucked up for some reason. And Ivan, of course, tortures and kills him.
Yeah.
And then he does, this is for my lord, that's for your face. And this whole like...
He's
this
having
is,
so much fun doing
this
it.
This whole like, this is for that and that for this routine is kind of played out. It's like, this is for my butt, you know, and that's for my
Ivan's
pee-pee.
A very, very lame dude.
Yeah.
And they're doing that on purpose. They want him to be like, this dude sucks.
Yeah. I assume it's Delmonda that finds him, though it's hard to say because his voice is all weird and scary. Is that Delmonda who's saying like
I think so. I think it is. Or maybe it's the group.
I don't know. I had a thing somewhere about it, but I don't know. I can't find it. Maybe I'll play it at some
You can't find it.
I can't find it. I have to hurry up.
No, you can just continue. Don't worry about it.
I know. Oh, here it is.
Oh, what? No.
That's supposed to be Delmonda, I guess. Okay.
Sounded very Borg-like there.
Yeah, it did. So number eight, we're getting close. Marla and Khan. Khan was saying he thought Delmonda was hiding something, and Marla's like, of course he is. Everyone you meet for the first time is. And then they joke on each other about stuff in Starfleet. They're having fun.
Yeah.
They go over name for funsies. They find the hot spring. They go bathing. They hear rumble bumples.
Yeah.
Marla stays. Khan goes to the noise. Nine, all that wall knocking caused a cave collapsion. Yeah. Is that a word?
Yes.
Collapsion.
Mm-hmm.
They take Mado to the med bay. 10, Marla is lost in the cave, stumbles upon Delmonda's mind. floating around somewhere. He's pissed, but she doesn't know that yet. He takes her to Ivan. She's nervous to go and wants to get calm, but Domanda's basically like, you're the only cool one here. Adding other people is going to make this communication all shitty. So she follows his mind to Ivan. 11, the baby's dead. Ursula's bumming on herself. Khan says, it's cool, you did a good job with this one. We'll try again. And she flips out. Hassan calls in and tells Khan that the Elborians took Ivan. Khan is like, I'm on my way. Ursula, be cool. And then 12... Marla is with Delmonda. There's this whole long scene that we can try to buzz through right here. I want to go over this. She says it looks like a forensic analysis of a crashed ship. And that's what he says. It's our first step for survival, their new home, right?
Yeah.
And he says, he's like, it's up to Khan how this plays out. You know, this is a fragile situation. Ivan sucks. I hope not all your people are like that.
Yeah.
You know? And then she goes to Ivan's mind land. And then Ivan, and he's like, it's your funeral, you know, like go to that weird man's brain. And Ivan's being crazy and paranoid, and she can't reason with him. And she pulls the whole I am Khan's woman thing, which shows how desperate she is.
Again.
Because she uses it, because that power defeats all in any argument. Yeah. I am Khan's woman.
Or ideally, except when Ivan's so pure that he's like, nope. Yeah. I'm righter than Khan.
Yeah, right. But you can tell how desperate she is when she's using that, like, with authority. And then it ends with them calling her a traitor. And then Delmonda's like, we got to keep him like this. Now, this action, while it's understandable that Delmonda is keeping him like this, it's kind of an action that... It's kind of the attitude that Khan lives by. Khan is forced to stoop to... Delmonda is forced to stoop to Khan's level in this sense, holding someone against their will due to fear. And that's what he's doing with Ivan.
And he doesn't like doing it.
He doesn't like it, but it's you got to sometimes, I guess. And then she's like, Khan's going to find out. And Delmonda's like, I trust you, you're different. And she's like, I showed you mine, now show me yours. Yep. And he's like, okay. And then he shows, there's a confusing scene where there's all these zip-zaps and angry... I guess it's replaying the whole death thing that's going on.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I've complained a little bit about them not doing a great job of in the audio of conveying that these are super strong, genetically engineered people. I thought this episode they did a better job.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, the sounds I'm hearing sound like a monstrous person. Mm-hmm. Like when Ivan was killing that soldier, for example, and when Khan was doing some stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, when Khan was digging out the rubble, right? I was like, that sounds like a superhuman person digging out rubble.
Yeah, Khan is flabbergasted about what happened to Ivan, what Ivan did. And he's like, let me take him, we'll punish him. And then Domanda's like, we got fucked over too.
Yeah, totally.
And then he's like, no, it's my people. And once again, no leverage, and he's still making demands. This time Delmonda's pissed. And then he says, this is where it gets confusing, because this wreckage, he's saying, is for their home, their new home. But now he's saying it's for a spacecraft for the Khan and his group to leave. Now, did he decide to repurpose their home into a spacecraft just now? Or was this his secret plan all along that he was hiding, that this wasn't ever meant to be their home? This was supposed to be the spacecraft where they tried. From the moment Khan attacked them, did the Elborians decide, we got to get these people off the planet, so we're going to play nice with them until the time comes where we can reveal our secret?
I took it a different way, and I don't know if this was the right way, but what I took it as being just sort of like a confusingly written thing to say that there actually is two things going on.
There's two ships, two things being built?
Well, they're dragging stuff into the cave to make a home because they're going to stay here. And they're building a ship for Khan's people out of the wreckage. It wouldn't make sense to build a ship in a cave. They do need a place to live, since they also have to live in a cave, because if their goal is to send Khan's people away and they're going to stay, then they have to have some place to stay.
Well, so
that's how I took it.
So when did they decide to build the ship for Khan and his people, do you think?
Probably soon after, maybe after the first time that
was basically my point, though, is I've got some of the specifics different.
But it's confusing.
But it's confusing. So the point being is, like, they did have a secret this whole time, and Delmonda's secret was that all along they were planning to kick Khan and people. So all this time that Delmonda's been saying, no, we'll stay on our side, you be on your side, we'll live together, that was a lie.
Well, you're framing it as kick him off. I thought they were doing it was an awesome gift to give them, that they get to go survive, because it's gonna be hard for them to survive on there, so they can go find some other
planet. Your thing is good things. I thought it was because Khan's dead set on living on this planet and conquering this planet. I took it as they're being like, get the fuck out of here, we don't want you here. And then Khan's gonna be pissed because
You'd like to think Khan would be smart enough to be like, no, if I can get a ship and find a better planet, we're going to do that.
This whole time, Khan has been like, this is my planet, you know? So, yeah. But, things might have changed because of the news.
Maybe we'll find out.
We'll find out. Okay. And then the next scene, we all talked about that Lear and the work and Tuvok coming in and then the stealing and the wheeling and dealing and all that stuff.
It's going to be very interesting to see where this goes. It was, again, a very engaging episode. A lot happened. But yeah, we'll see. Some confusing stuff in there, but I'll give them credit. I'll give them pre-credit, whatever it is, that there's still a lot of story to come. So I think some of that might become clearer there. Overall,
I forbid you to harm anyone else.
I'm following everything pretty clearly, and I think it's just really, really nice and entertaining story they put together for us.
Last point I want to make: when Paulo said, "When is this guy going to be cooked, anyways?" referring to the baby, that kind of weirded me out a little bit.
I also didn't really.
And like
that.
The thinking about like it just I don't know why that weirded me
some
out.
Some of their slang usage,
not because thinking about a cooked baby like makes is upsetting. It's just,
like the baby in the microwave.
It's just thinking about like, oh, my tummy's cooking a baby. It weirds me out for some reason. Yeah. It makes me feel oogie. Maybe I'm just immature about babies and cervixes and things like that.
You're the one bringing cervixes into this whole business.
I don't know.
All right. So that's going to be it for this week. But we do want to remind folks that we recorded a little early this week. So we couldn't do our entry in our newly famous, exciting game. Where the hell have I heard that before?
Where WTH. Where the hell?
Oh, no, yeah, where the hell? Where the hell have I heard that? Yes, where the hell have I heard that before? Anyway.
Yeah.
I said, get out of my mind!
So you have a little bit of time. I guess they don't, because we're going to be recording before they even hear this one. Never mind.
Chief O'Brien!
If you haven't heard it already, send it in. Send in your guesses, but no, that doesn't make any sense. Anyway, don't worry about it.
I'm not joking, Lee!
We'll finish that up next week. We'll do another one. And with that, we will say a firm and hearty goodbye.
This has to stop!
It's good, yes? Oh, you are meant to eat around the bones.
The skeletal calcium is an essential nutrient source.
Interesting.